Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. I pray, Father, please, that you will accomplish the work that you want to accomplish. But Father, I realize that it's not the preaching, it's not the worship of music, it's not our Sunday school classes or programs or outreach or anything that we have that is top priority. The top priority, Father, is that we as believers in Christ come together to meet with you, that we know that we've been touched by your Spirit in our heart and in our soul, that we've encountered you. And I pray, Father, please, that each one of us will be aware of your Spirit, but also, Father, be aware of the personal touch that we desire from you, to have that communion with you, that fellowship with you, that we identify that's clearly between each one of us with you. And together, Father, I pray that you help our hearts just to grow more in love with you. Now, Father, preach your word, accomplish your work once again, and glorify your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Lay Hold of Your High Calling. One of my favorite subjects is the high calling that God places on our life. You know, last week we looked at what it meant to be sanctified, or we looked at the word sanctification, that we can be the people of God, not just set apart for God, but that we can actually be the people of God that are carrying the word of God, cutting through darkness, bearing the light of truth, being a bold witness for Christ, a mighty witness for Christ. That's part of what it means to be set apart, to be sanctified as unto the Lord, being called out by God to be that witness, to be that person that God wants us to be. I don't know how many of you have been watching the Olympics. I enjoy watching the Olympics, and there's probably very few parts of the Olympics that I don't enjoy watching. I envy those that can do the Olympics, being that I've never been athletic myself. But as we look at the Olympics, we look at the Olympians that have devoted their lives to developing their skills, their craft, their sport, to enter into the Olympics. You've heard testimonies of little kids going, I saw this Olympic person or that Olympic person, so I want to go to the Olympics one day, I want to get a gold medal. And some of them have set out to do that, and they've done that with their whole heart and committed their lives and devoted themselves to being that representative of their country that gains a medal for the excellence and the superiority of their sport, of their ability to jump higher than anybody or jump farther than anybody or throw a 16-pound ball farther than anybody, and you just name the Olympics and you'll see it. But they've all recognized that in order to be a world champion, how many of those Olympians have you heard a testimony of? How many hours a day do you practice? How often are you in the pool? How often are you running track? They're going to tell you most of their day is consumed with that outside of school, right? They're committed to that. But having done that, they have separated themselves from some of the luxuries of just normal life because they've set that goal. So in a way, they've set themselves apart for a goal that they want to reach. They've been set apart. We talked about that last week. We've been set apart by God for his work to be a bold witness for him. But in doing so, we're to press forward to, with the title of the message is again, laying hold of your high calling. Lay hold of your high calling. Did you know that you as a believer, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ here this morning, which I believe all of you are, or those that may be listening on the internet, that if you're a Christian, that God has laid hold of you. That means he's grabbed you. He's apprehended you. He's set you apart, pulled you aside for his purpose. And, you know, as a young Christian, I think that was probably one of the most exhilarating things that I had heard from the preaching of God's word, that God had called you to be involved for him. God has a plan for you bigger than you are or that you can think. And so we as Christians, we have a high calling. Not for our life in this world, right? But one found in Christ. And you understand what I'm saying? That the goals aren't to be set by the mandates or the standards of this world. The goal and the high calling that God has called us to do is that which is set by God in Christ Jesus. What's that mean? Well, that simply means that God will do something in your life and in my life if we are willing to allow Him to, that will far exceed what we think is even possible. He'll give us the gifts and He'll give us the talents and He'll give us the desire to discover Him. Now, how do we go from being set apart by God, which is, you know, point blank, we've been set apart by God as a Christian, sanctified, set apart. We learned last week that's a process that we have to commit to be set apart for God, not to be part of this world, but to represent Jesus boldly. And having done that, so then we know that we've been apprehended by God for God's purpose. So how do we discover what we've been apprehended for? Now, it's very personal for you and for me that God specifically has grabbed hold of you and me for a specific purpose. How do we discover that purpose? Well, we're going to look at some of those things this morning. According to Philippians 3:12 and Hebrews 12:2a, that first part of Hebrews 12:2, for us to lay hold of this high calling of Christ for our lives, we must make a continuous effort as we keep our eyes on Him. The key to discovering the high calling that God has on your life is keeping our eyes, which is to keep our heart focused on Jesus. Now, let me back up for just a moment. What does the word or the phrase high calling mean to you? It means that this high calling is actually a calling from the Lord, from heaven. That's a goal or a standard that He has for us that is impossible for us to attain in the things of this world and only possible to attain through Christ. Let's step it up just a little bit more. If we're called to be a representative of Christ, sanctified for God, set apart for God, to be a witness for God, that our lives will touch other people's lives for Jesus, we have to ask ourselves the question, is it us that's touching other people's lives, touching their heart, touching their soul, reaching down to the depth of who they are because of our witness? No. Our witness is presented, but the Holy Spirit carries that witness to touch people's hearts. And so as we pursue that which God has laid hold of us, and we discover what that is, and we follow Him step by step, we realize that we're doing this by God's power, not by our own. Now, the question I have for you this morning is, are you interested in discovering or laying hold of that which Christ laid hold of you for? God's apprehended you. God has set you apart. God has a reason for that. Are you interested in discovering what God has for you? What He's already planned. I've pulled you out of the crowd and I've set you here because I have something that I want to do with you that will glorify my Son and magnify my name. For us as Christians, we have to decide whether that's important to us to discover. And the only way we can do that, as we just said in the fill-in there, we must first make the decision to keep our eyes on Jesus. That's to keep our heart on Jesus. Paul said something that was interesting. He said, not that I have already attained, it's Philippians 3:12, not that I have already attained. Attained what? That high calling. Attained what? All that God wants to do. Attained what? The full transforming of my life to represent Jesus. He's saying, not that I've already attained or am already perfected. In your Bibles, it might say even mature or complete. You would think of the Apostle Paul being the most mature, complete Christian there could be. But Paul's saying, look, you know what? As I press forward, God continues to shape me. God continues to lay before me His purpose for me. God continues to do what He wants, what He's grabbed hold of me, what He has apprehended me for. As I keep my eyes on Him and follow Him, I continue to be developed by Him. So, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. That is one of the most exciting verses for me, personally, as a witness to you, a testimony to you. It just thrills me. I was praying. I said, Lord, how do I convey this in a way that puts it in front of this congregation, how exciting that is. God had something for me, something for you that is beyond our comprehension, that's not of this world, but that's from Him, that He works His way mightily through, that we can have if we just follow Him. Amazing. The question is, we have to ask ourselves, is that what we want to pursue? And that being Jesus. Hebrews 12:2a says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, God will complete our faith. He will complete the work that He's apprehended us for. But we have to allow Him to finish it. When the disciples were in the boat was going down, the storm was great. These fishermen that are seasoned in the sea are scared to death that they're going to lose their life. If they were to jump ship, they would have jumped God's plan. But being that they stayed in the ship and relied on Jesus and depended on Him for safety, they made it to the other side. And they grew. God continued to reveal Himself to them. We have to be willing to go through to the other side. We have to be willing to let God carry us through with His purposes. Each phase of our life, each circumstance in our life, all the way to the end. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so as we were saying that Paul admitted that he had not yet attained that maturity in Christ, but he continues to pursue it. I've had older Christians tell me, I've done my part. Time to hand the baton. There may be some physical things that might be true, but what I've had older Christians tell me in that statement, I've done my part, it's time for others to do it, is that they say, I am done serving. I am done listening. I am done yielding. I am done giving. I am done allowing God to be the one who shapes and uses me for Him. That's not the right way to think. We're to continue to pursue Christ until He calls us home. To lay hold of what God has planned for our lives, as I said, is the most exciting adventure that any Christian can experience. Do you believe that? The very life that God has for you is far more fulfilling, far more exciting, far more adventurous than we can ever comprehend. I don't want to sound like a broken record. Going to study to be a chef in Paris, that was my goal. Go on a cruise ship, open a restaurant, blah, blah, blah. Couldn't speak in front of people, dyslexia, right? Speech impediments, lack of assurance. Confidence. What in the world did God do? I'm going to take this broken piece of pottery and I'm going to put them right here. God, what are you doing? But see, there was a decision that I had to say. Number one, I know you. I love the relationship that we have together and I want to follow you. And even though this scares me to death, even though this is against my own personality, if I don't understand why you would even dare to even think about using me in that capacity, to follow that is to discover why God has laid hold of us. So when God puts things in front of you that scares the wits out of you, but you know in your spirit God is leading you that way, if you want to grab hold of what God's plan is for your life, you need to step forward and do what God has put in front of you. And we're to continue to do that until we go home to be with the Lord. Granny Mildred, dyslexia, 92 years old and here teaching Sunday school. Faithful, faithful, faithful to the end. She discovered what God wanted for her. And she followed the Lord. And I remember the first time I saw her picture in the church directory, and I hadn't even met her yet. I go, oh, she's a tough one. She had a stern look on her face. But she had a heart of gold and generosity. God transformed her and used her. And so, finding the high calling God intends for us requires us to hold on to what He reveals to us each step of the way. God might say, hey, first thing is I want you to put your faith in me. Second thing, I want you to get baptized. Third thing, I want you to become a part of a Bible-believing fundamental church that teaches the Word of God. Third, I want you to step in and follow my leading to be used to be how I want to use you in that church for His kingdom work. And each time we take a step, we grow and we grow and grow. And we're beginning to look, and when we look back, we look at our life and we go, God is shaping me into a way that I didn't think was even possible, that I never thought of before. That's grabbing hold of what He grabbed hold of us for. And He continues to build that our whole life. When I was first going to church, I was 17 years old, and one of the things that I worked with was children's church. It scared me to death, but I worked with children's church. When Kathy and I got married, we did children's church ministries around the country. And in that, I used pastels. God introduced pastels to me. And so I would go in front of children's church, and we would read a scripture, and I would draw a picture of scripture, one scripture or a scriptural passage, and I would draw it in picture form and explain it to the kids. Well, where did that lead the next step to? Associate pastor. I'm not meaning that to talk about me. I'm meaning to talk about the fact that there's a process of steps that we have to be willing to follow if we will take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of us. So, we must hold on to the truth of His Word and follow the course He has for us. Are we interested in following the course? Are we interested in discovering again what God has laid hold of us for? Now, I want to share with you one thing that is absolutely necessary to discovering the high calling of God in your life. And that is to forget and let go of the things you are ashamed of in your past. I have things in my past that are utterly shameful. Absolutely dark and wicked. Absolutely the most shameful, embarrassing chapter of my life. Whether my faults or not, whatever the circumstances were, if I was to hold on to that, I would not be willing to follow Jesus the way He intends for me to. If we hold on to the past will keep us from embracing the future of what God has for us. Absolutely. My parents, my mother was married twice, my father was married three times. And as a kid going through all the divorce and remarriage and all the, you know, the adjustments, I could have got bitter. I could have got angry. I could have just said, God, why'd you let that happen? I could have. And I could have, again, held on to that. And we're not supposed to do that. So one thing that is absolutely necessary to discovering the high calling of God on your life is to forget and to let go of the things you are ashamed of in your past. Let go of the luggage of the past and embrace what God has. Holding on to the past sin will paralyze us and disable us from pursuing that high calling that God has for our lives. So, we're to take hold, and that's part of the process. I've heard about you, I've received you through the gospel, and again, follow through with every step you've told me to follow. And in the process, I've had some real deep hurts, real deep pains, real deep sorrows, all the stuff that's painful. But because of you, I can let go. Only because of Jesus can I let go freely and move forward. And because of that, there's a freedom. Philippians 3:13 says, Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or to grab hold of. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now, I've explained what it means to forget those things that are behind, to set us free and to keep us from being paralyzed spiritually so we can move forward. But do you recognize the other part of that scripture right there? Leaving those things behind and what? Reaching forward to those things which are ahead. That word reaching in the Greek is to stretch forward. Do you think that when the athletes in the Olympian, the Olympic races and all of that stuff, you see the faces on those guys running those tracks, it looks like every ounce of every fiber that they are is trying to get to that finish line? In fact, you think that they've exhausted their body so much that it's really not healthy for them? But they're reaching, they're stretching, they're putting every ounce of energy they have to reach the goal that's been set in front of them. The goal that God has put in front of us is the wonderful, wonderful reality. God laid hold of us, not just for salvation, but for purpose. And if we lay hold of Him, we'll discover what that purpose is. And if we follow with full diligence and reach and stretch with all of our might, that means putting away everything that kind of gets in our, not kind of, but does get in our way. Dealing with every emotion, every circumstance, every day of life, and just giving it to God and trusting God, we will plow through the adversity and embrace the victory that God has for us. Remember something. The Apostle Paul was what? He was a murderer. He murdered Christians. He stood over Stephen when he was stoned to death, held his clothes while they stoned him to death, and Stephen was calling out to God and saw Jesus stand up next to the throne of God in heaven. Wow. Here's a murderer encountering himself as a chief sinner, the worst of all. If he held on to that, do you think God would have used Paul for that purpose, for the purpose he intended? Do you think Paul would have grabbed hold of that which God grabbed hold of him for, that which God had apprehended him for? Would he have apprehended it? Would Paul have known what God intended for him if he didn't let go and follow Him and stretch forward? And we know that scripture, I've run the race, I've fought a good fight. With confidence, now I can go on and stand before God all the way to the end, being what God intends for us to be. And so we need to embrace the fact that God has placed before us a high calling. It's a mentality. It's a focus. It's a desire. It's a belief. It's believing that God has chosen you for a purpose, just as He's chosen me, and pursue it. And God will reveal it to us. Discovering the high calling of God on our lives involves letting go of past sin by accepting God's forgiveness and stretching or pressing toward the prize. Sprinter Shawnee Miller dove across the finish line and won a gold medal. Some criticized whether that was the right thing to do for her or not. But here's the point. That no matter what their opinion was, she proved that she was determined to do what it took to win. Doesn't matter what people are saying about us. Doesn't matter what criticisms are out there. Doesn't matter what hardship or demand or stretching or adversity that comes our way. Like her, that goal was set in front of us, like you and I. If we grab hold of the fact, I want to follow you to the furthest, to the end of the course, and discover what purpose you have pulled me out for, no matter what, we're going to find it. We're going to find it. Whether there is violence or urgency or desperation implied, one that we can adapt for ourselves. In other words, no matter how much we're persecuted, no matter how much our flesh wars against us, no matter how violent things might come emotionally or spiritually or even physically in the world around us, no matter what comes against us, that we will have that strong pursuit to follow God and His plan for us. So we must press toward the goal or have that impassioned pursuit of it. Question. Can you identify in your own heart of hearts here today that you are impassioned to pursue God and His plan for you? Because there's a warfare that goes on in the flesh. God, I'm going to hold on to this. This is me. This is where I stay put. This is where I'm most comfortable. This is who I am. And you, I'm not going to let you pull me out too far. If we're willing to let God pull us out, stretch us out into areas that are beyond our control, we'll discover Him in ways we never thought were even possible. And guess what the result of that will be? Not only will our faith grow like mad, but our love for Jesus will grow deeper than we ever thought possible. Because we're going to see the wonder of God's hand work in our life and shape us and mold us and reveal to us the things He called us out for. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says, tells us how we press toward the goal of our high calling. Look at verses 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, when were you raised with Christ? When we received Christ, the Bible teaches us that our old man was now dead, and our new man is in Christ. It teaches that our old sinful nature no longer has power and authority over us as we walk in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our life. Walking in the power of the resurrection of Christ simply means relying on His power to raise us up above the things that produce death and not life. That's what it means. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Is that a mindset? Is that a focus? Is that part of the high calling in which God has laid hold of us for? It's looking heavenward. It's realizing that from heaven, God wants to work through me and you in a way that's beyond our ability, that brings glory to God, that fills our lives and enriches our lives with the fullness of Jesus Himself. That's the real wonder about the Christian walk. It's the intimate, real relationship, encountering relationship with Jesus that grows deeper and stronger and more confident in Him. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. So I'm going to plow through the things of this world. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He has a plan and purpose, and I'm going to keep focused on Him. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Don't let this world in all its luster, if you will, pull us away from putting our heart, our mind, and our soul, our eyes, if you will, on Jesus. Because if we do that, we're going to miss the mark of the high calling that God has called for each of us. If God the Father, who is righteous and holy and all love and all truth and all light, and wants to bless us with all full blessings of our life, is He robbing us for seeking Him? Or are we robbing ourselves for seeking what we think is better? Pursue Him. As with athletes, the mind's a vital component to winning. One of the swimmers with Michael Phelps, date. But he didn't do well one race, and part of the problem was he said my mind wasn't in it. You're watching the Olympics, you see these headphones on, right? Why? Because they're blocking everything out, and they're getting their mind and heart and eyes focused precisely on what they are there for. Spiritually, that's exactly what you and I are called to do. When we set our eyes and our heart and our sight on Jesus, on heavenly things, on Him and His way and His purpose and His plan, and the inclinations of the Holy Spirit that's leading us to go step by step in His direction, then what we're doing is we're fine-tuning not just our mental mind, but our spiritual heart for Jesus. They had to make the decision to put the headphones on. They had to make a decision that they're going to block out everything amongst all the arena and all the noise and all the accolades of the races that are going on around them. They said with all that distraction, they figured out a way how to keep the distractions from distracting them from their main purpose. Same thing. You and I are called to learn how to keep the distractions out of the way, that we're not distracted from God's way. And the best way we can keep the distractions out of the way is, one, remember it's a warfare and the devil wants to pull us in a different direction. Number two, pray through everything. Little things, big things, it doesn't matter. Pray. He's your Heavenly Father. He loves you. Pray. Trust on Him. Keep those up. Make that mental, spiritual decision to keep focused no matter what is going on around us. And so, we too must set our minds on things of God, His purposes, His ways, or we will not lay hold of our high calling. What a tragedy that is. God made you and me. God made us for a purpose. God had a plan for us before the foundations of the world. And if we decide that what we think is better for our lives is worth forsaking what God, our Heavenly Father and Creator, made us specifically for, we have bought into the biggest lie that can rob any Christian of what God intends for them. So the choice is ours. And it doesn't matter where we are in our stage of life to make the decision to keep our eyes focused on God and to take the steps. God will use us no matter where we are in life. There's a lady, when she was young, she said, God, I want to be a missionary. Well, her plans didn't work out like that. She got married. She had a family. She decided, well, I'm investing my time in my marriage and my kids and building that family. Family grew up. Kids got married. Husband died. Don't take that too seriously. You know what I'm saying? You know, the husband died. She's a widow. Kids have their own lives. She's elderly. Do you know what she said? What do I do now, Lord? God said, now it's time to go. But I've been a homemaker all my life. What am I going to do? All I know is sewing and things like that. He goes, go and teach them how. And she went to different parts of the world and taught people how to sew for their own benefits or even their own income. She used what she had that she didn't think had any value that impacted lives for God and His glory. Doesn't matter where we are in life, God will use us if we're willing to be used. We too must set our minds on the things of God, His purposes, His ways, or we will not lay hold of our high calling. Hebrews 3:1 tells us, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. Remember how Jesus kept His eyes focused on the Father. My will is to do the will of my Father. My meat and my drink is to do the will of the Father. I will follow through to the will of the Father. And He knew absolutely that the destiny that He had for His course, His journey, was the cross. He knew the Father would turn His back on Him. He knew that the Father would lay all the sin of mankind on Him. He knew that He would not only have the most excruciating, painful death that any human being could have, but He knew that every guilty sin and stain would be put on Him. And it was, again, I've said this multiple times from the pulpit, it was because He had you and me before His eyes. He knew that the Father had those that were reserved for Him. That the Father knew who, by their own choice, would receive Him as their Savior. The Father knew the plans and purposes He had for them. And Jesus said, I am going through this to give an opportunity for men to be free from the punishment of sin and to have eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. So consider how people suffer. Putting all those things aside, they were willing to say, I will run the course that you have. We need to be partakers of the heavenly calling. We do that by acknowledging and sharing with others what Jesus has done for us. The very base, and yet one of the most important, is a weird paradox. The base principle that every Christian, no matter how young or how long you've been a Christian, has the responsibility to tell others that Jesus loves me, and I want you to know that Jesus loves you too. Because aside from everything else the church does, if we don't share the gospel, we're missing the mark. So what do we do to keep that heavenly calling or that which Christ has laid hold of us for? We need to remember this. We must, with everything that we have, stretch forward to the life God has for you. We must be willing to say, God, I want the life you have, even though I'm uncertain of it, even though I don't have my own security, even though I'm not comfortable. I want to pursue what you have. I will die to myself. I will live for you. Stretch forward to the life God has for you, reaching diligently for the prize of heaven's rewards. And in doing so, you will have found the high calling of God in your life. When we get to heaven, God has not missed anything that we have done in faith with him. And out of his goodness, far above, not far above, even though we're saved by grace and that should be enough that we're going to heaven, out of God's love and goodness and kindness, he says, I have watched you take your step each step of the way, and I have seen your faithfulness to me as a predominant factor in your life, and I am going to bless you even more here in heaven than you thought possible with the rewards that I have for you. But the goal is to know him, to experience him, and to discover what he's actually created us for and lay hold of that. So the question is yours and mine. Now, I want to just say one more thing about this. We can be committed, strong Christians, saying, I'm going to focus on God. But that's a daily commitment, because any of us can fall away from that focus at any time. And we have to make the decision and say, God, I blew it, but I'm going to follow you and keep going. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank you for the high calling that you've placed on every one of your children's lives. That as believers in Jesus, as our personal Lord and Savior, that you have told us in your word as we've looked at this morning, that you have laid hold of us, apprehended us for a purpose, and that you've challenged us to apprehend what that purpose is, to grab hold of what that purpose is. And we've talked about the process of that and the sacrifice of that and the commitment of that. But Father, I pray that you would speak to each of our hearts in ways that we encounter you in, with such richness and personal connection with you, that our hearts will just be stirred and melted and burned with desire for you. And I ask that you do that work, that we might grow in you and be all that you called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com. And tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.